And we find ourselves in Hebrews this evening in chapter number 13. I'm going to give you just a few thoughts this evening. There's really thoughts that go well with the service and what we've been dealing with. But notice we began in the first part of the chapter, and we talked about after chapter 12 that we're not come unto Mount Sinai. Remember the contrast, but we're come to Mount Zion. And they're quite different. And we saw last Sunday night the behavior at Mount Sinai. Therefore, because of where we stand, we ought to behave a certain way as Christians. And we dealt with that. And this evening, we're going to begin reading, notice in verse number 9, and down to just a few verses, and work our way here a little closer to the end. We're not going to finish tonight. But notice here, Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Three times in this passage, he mentions in verse at the end of verse 11, being without the camp. He talks about at the end of verse 12, suffered without the gate. And again in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Now, this is not the title of the message, but by the time we reach the end of this message, we're going to talk about that's where we live with Christ, without the camp. And we'll talk about that, and I hope the truth will become clear as we study this passage. But I want to draw your attention, if you would, to verse number 9, where the Bible says, notice, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. I want to deal this evening with this thought, having our hearts established with grace. The heart established with grace. Again, just by way of reminder, the church, this letter was intended to circulate among different local congregations. What was taking place, if you read in those later epistles, such as 1 and 2 Peter as well, Hebrew Christians had been scattered abroad. So many times those letters were circulated from congregation to congregation, and they would read those things and be reminded of some very important truths. The Hebrew Christians that we've been reading about have been dealing with persecution and quite intense persecution from every level to their family, the social setting, their workplaces. Every area of their lives had been affected. And no doubt many of those Hebrew Christians knew of some of their perhaps family members or friends or fellow Christians who had been imprisoned, who had been persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what he's reminded them throughout the book, and he's compared the Jewish system to the Christian system, if you would. I don't think it's a system, it's more of a relationship. But he compares the Old Testament law and the Old Testament rituals and the Old Testament tabernacle to what the believers had now today. We saw just in chapter 12, he has made a contrast between Mount Sinai, where the Jews had come, and Mount Zion, where the believers had come. By the way, not just the Jews, but all of the world. The Bible says very clearly, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the inscription above His head were written in the Hebrew tongue, but the Roman and the Greek and the Latin. Why? Because really His appeal is to all the world, to every man. And throughout the pages of the book of Acts, you see people from every background, every type of society that are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now these were speaking to Jewish Christians, people that grew up in those Jewish traditions and who had trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And what's happening in their lives is they're allowing the difficulties in their lives, the persecutions in their lives, to allow them to be discouraged and really to be misportrayed about God. With that being said, we see in this passage that with the struggle in their own lives, they're having now teachers creeping in those churches that are teaching them things that ought not to be taught according to what has been received by the Apostle Paul and Peter and other men that were used of God. Now, I want to deal with three simple truths this evening as we deal with having our heart established with grace. First of all, in this passage, we see the Christian life is spiritual. The Christian life is spiritual. Notice what he says as he gives them a warning in verse 9. He says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." So that lets us know that as this letter was being circulated to different congregations, that no doubt some of those congregations had false teachers. Some of those congregations had people that perhaps were saved, but were starting to teach things that were not in accordance to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And so he says here, look, don't be swayed and carried about with diverse and strange doctrine. Notice, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. So notice he deals specifically with what type of doctrine is going on in the church. He's reminding them that we are established in grace and not meats. Now, what does that mean? He says, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So it would seem through this book of Hebrews that many of these Hebrew Christians still clung to the temple in Jerusalem and to the rituals of the temple and to the things that they would do as Jews as they grew up. It is also evident that among these churches, there were teachers who were teaching obedience to the laws with respect to food, eating, and sacrifices, dietary restrictions, and the readers are being warned against such teaching. In verse 9 again, he says, "For it is a good thing that the heart, notice, be established with grace." Paul mentions the same truth in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, where he says this, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink." It is not meat and drink. But what? "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." There is a distinction between the Old Testament system and the New Testament relationship. The Old Testament system was about observing all kinds of things. Now, don't get me wrong, I do not believe those things were wrong, but I believe that those things were powerless in doing the work of salvation in their lives. They were there, really, most of those things were there to picture and to speak of Jesus Christ who would come. And many of the rituals that they did spoke of Christ. So it is not about, again, the problem here is that they're going and they're emphasizing the external in their lives and neglecting the internal. The law, by the way, emphasizes the external, the food, the washing, the rituals, all the specific things that the Jews were commanded to do and follow to the letter of the law. But the gospel emphasizes the internal, the heart, righteousness, and holiness. And may I stop and say this? It is not saying that the external doesn't matter. What I am saying is that what is more important is the heart. And what those Hebrew Christians were emphasizing in their lives was the external. The external a following of the law, the external following of the rituals. And the Apostle Paul says, you've neglected the internal, the heart of the matter. Because let's be reminded of this, that when God has really our hearts, as He truly ought to have, then everything else in our lives on the external will be affected. In other words, we always emphasize the heart. You see, it is possible to do the right thing without having the right heart towards God, but it is impossible to have the right heart towards God and not do the right things. And what was happening is that's how the Jewish society had become. Think about it, under the law, the Pharisees were guilty of making their religion all about the external, which under the law they had to observe, and they did not emphasize the internal. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, he says, "You have neglected the weightier matters." What are the weightier matters? Judgment, mercy, and faith, which are all found in the heart. They were neglecting that because they were emphasizing the external. But remember, Jesus Christ, throughout his ministry, he basically confronted them and helped them to realize that it is their heart that needs to be changed and not just the external. By the way, there are many people today in society who reform their lives and who try to clean up their lives on the external, and they never deal with the internal, and that is the heart. And may I say, that is not good just for salvation, but it is also good for the Christian life. It is very easy for us to get to the place where we emphasize the external, to where we conform to everything on the external, but our heart is far removed from God. You see, our faith is not made up of ceremonial observances of various foods, as it was in the case under the law. No amount of outward observances can sustain the inner life. Let me say that again. No amount of outward observances can sustain the inner life. You know what we do in the flesh, and I find myself to do that often. I kind of like to justify my spirituality with what I do on the outward, and as such, neglect the inner life. Why? Because everything becomes conform on the outside. But the outside is no substitute for the inward. In other words, activity in our lives cannot be the substitute for spirituality, for true spirituality, which is found on the inward. So he is emphasizing to them today, as he was in that time, notice that the Christian life is a spiritual life. He tells them, it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. And perhaps there were people who were Jewish and who were still teaching that there were certain dietary restrictions. Well, you can't eat that. Well, sorry, you can't eat that. And the Apostle Paul says, look, this is not the New Testament doctrine. So we see the Christian life is spiritual. And may I stop and say this? I believe that we ought to take care of our bodies. I believe that we ought to eat the right things, and we ought not to neglect our body and the things that we do. The Bible says, after all, that bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit some. What's more important is the spiritual, but what he's saying is let's not neglect our bodies because they are the temple of God. But it proceeds from the spiritual. You see, that's the more important. And I believe when the spiritual is what it ought to be, it will affect every area of our lives. So we see the Christian life is spiritual. Number two, the Christian life is superior. And notice he says this in number 10. We have, notice, an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned, notice, without the camp. Now, he mentions here, notice, that the Christian life is superior. And by the way, that's the case that he's made throughout the whole entire book of Hebrews. Perhaps this is kind of concluding that the life for the Christian is so much superior than what you had before as a Jew. It is so much better. He talks about, notice again, in just the context in verse 9, he says, not with meats, notice, which have not purified them that have been occupied therein. So he's talking about, look, all those Old Testament Jews and all the Jews and your family members that still do that to this day, may I say that all those observances that they do of eating certain things and not eating certain things and conforming outwardly does not benefit them one bit. We're talking about the spiritual life. They were emphasizing the external. He goes to a step further in verse 10, says this, We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Notice, what do you mean? So those Jews, especially from the tribe of Levi, who would, by the way, as being part of the tabernacle, part of the rituals was that they were able to eat some of the meat that was brought, that was offered as a sacrifice, that was part of their daily food. And he says that that did not profit them, but we have a different altar as believers, as born-again believers. And guess what? The altar that we partake in, he says this, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. You see, the Christian life is superior to the Jewish life. And I'm talking about religion. Why? Because what they do ritually does not profit them spiritually. And as a matter of fact, they can't even touch us because they have no right to eat of what we partake. Well, what are we partaking? We're talking about Jesus Christ here. We're talking about Jesus Christ, that we have access. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is the Word. And he says that those people that partake of those things physically have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Notice, they have no right to eat and partake of the things that we enjoy, the benefits that we have in the Christian life. And so he says again, the Christian life is so much superior. Now, we're going to see here that there are two kinds of offerings in the Old Testament. And what I mean by that is under two headings. There are many types of offerings, and perhaps we'll talk about those one day. But there is the sweet savor offerings, and then there's the sin offerings. Now, you can fit all of the types of offerings under those two headings. Many of the Old Testament sacrifices were used as food for the priest. These were sweet savor offerings. Having served their purpose on the altar, the sacrifice of Christ did away with that. That's what the Bible tells us. Notice 4 verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, he says here, talking about the two types of offering, he mentions, first of all, in verse number 9 and 10, this sweet savor offering that the priest would eat and partake of after it was offered as a sacrifice. And then he's going to go move on to the sin offering, which, by the way, they didn't partake and eat of the sin offering. There was no feast on those, the sin offerings. The sin offerings were always burned outside of the camp. Now, what the camp was to the Israelites in the wilderness, Jerusalem was to the Jews in Jesus' day. Because the temple was there, and that replaced the tabernacle. You see, he was slain, Jesus Christ was slain outside of the city's walls on the hill of shame. There was there he was made a sin offering for us. And so he's laying out the case for these Hebrew Christians that the Christian life is not only spiritual instead of external, but it is also superior. And we're going to see this in just a moment. But he says, look, what you have and the privileges that you enjoy, they can't even touch. Now, if we will remember the type of tabernacle and the offerings, do you remember? There was only one person once a year that was able to go into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And nobody could have that type of access. And the priests that did their daily tasks in the outer court and in the whole and in the holy place, which is the external part next before going into the Holy of Holies, should have brought those charts again. But we see in the holy place they would perform daily tasks. That's where the sacrifices would be brought in. That's where the bread was laid, and they would eat in there and all those things. And we find all the rituals that they did. And what he is saying to them is they did all those things. But again, what he's been laying out the case throughout the book of Hebrews is that those things absolutely accomplished nothing for their salvation. The people in the Old Testament had to be saved by faith. Just like we have to be saved today, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so what they did, all you see all the business of all the things they did, and rigidly following the law as Jesus, as God commanded Moses and the tribe of Levi and all those that were exercising in the holy place and in the outer court and the Holy of Holies, we find that that type of access was only to a restricted people. But according to the word of God, for the believer, with the type of access we have, it's so much better than what the Jews had. Why? Because they had no access to the Holy of Holies. Most Jews had no access to even the holy place. And most Jews didn't have access even to the outer court. Now think about that. But you see what Jesus Christ, the difference that He made because of His sacrifice, who was a sweet-smelling savor, He brings us into the outer court where the sacrifice is made. And then after, as the sacrifice is made, He brings us into the holy place where all of those things that are in there picture Christ. And then He brings us a step further in the place that no man could go into without dying, and that was the Holy of Holies. You see, the Christian life is superior. The Christian life is not only spiritual, it's superior, but number three, the Christian life is also sanctified. He says this, notice in verse number 12, wherefore, Jesus also, that He might, notice, sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now this is very important. He's kind of comes here to a conclusion because again, they were suffering for the cause of Christ. And He's reminding them of what Jesus Christ Himself experienced. He's speaking here of not only, first of all, the sweet savor offering, but He's also talking about the sin offering, and the sin offering relating to the Old Testament, which the Jews understood perfectly. The sin offering was burned without the camp. And by the way, Jesus, when He died on the cross, was without the camp. He was outside of Jerusalem. So Jesus Christ was the perfect fulfillment of the Old Testament of the sacrifices. The Jews had rejected Christ and they had cast Him outside of the camp. Since Christ was outside of the whole thing, there could be no communion with Him inside of the Judaistic system. Why? Because they brought Him outside of the camp. Therefore, the Jew would have no idea what it means to have a relationship with God and with Jesus Christ because he's outside of the camp. Do you see here how this pictures what was going on in the life of those Hebrew Christians of that day? Because he tells them, notice in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp. Jesus Christ was rejected of men. He died without the camp as the sin offering. And now he says, as believers, what do you expect? Do you expect really to stay around the Jewish people who cast Jesus Christ, whom you've trusted, outside of the camp? What you ought to do is go where He is, outside of the camp. Why are you trying to live the Christian life and bring your Jewish buddies in and think that you can work together? You can't work together because they've cast Jesus outside of the camp and that's where you belong. You know, we are so easily inclined to seek our religion and its enjoyment in something external, and it is only to be found in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. You see, the place of the Hebrew Christian was with Christ. Well, where is Christ? Outside of the camp. To go back into the camp could be to give the right hand of fellowship to the system that had cast Him out. So the truth for us is this. The blood of Jesus Christ was brought into the holy place. The body was burned outside of the camp. Even so, Christ's blood was brought into heaven and is the power of our entrance into our abode there and the sign that is our place. In other words, we dwell where Christ has brought us into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. But Christ's body was brought without the camp, the sign that is our place as well. You see, heaven has received Christ and us with Him. Do we understand that? that heaven, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, as we've studied in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and really throughout the entire book, He brings us to a place of fellowship with God where we were the enemies of God and we've been made the sons of God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. And so heaven has received Him and as a consequence has received us. That's where we belong. Do you understand that? We belong with Him in the Holy of Holies and therefore have fellowship with Him. But at the same time, the world has cast Him outside of the camp and us with Him. You see, we belong there too. In heaven, we share His honor, and on earth, we share His reproach. You see, we are in heaven positionally. But here on earth, these Hebrew Christians were being persecuted. They were being mocked. They were being just shamed. And all those things that were taking place. And what did they want to do? They, in their minds, in their mindset, they went, if we could just go back and fellowship with those people, if we could just live at peace in Jerusalem, if we could live at peace with our neighbors and our family members, if we could just embrace Christ and the world, then everything would be fine. And he says, but that's not the way it works for the Christian life. You see, because Jesus Christ has identified you in sin and has brought you because of His sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, that's where you belong. But you also have to understand that the world that rejected Christ also rejected you. And so therefore, because Jesus Christ was outside of the camp, that's also where you belong when it comes to the world. Don't be discouraged. All that you're doing as a Christian without the camp is identifying with Jesus Christ. So those Hebrew discouraged Christians can be encouraged. Because the Christian life is spiritual and not external. Because the Christian life is superior, but also because the Christian life is sanctified. We have been set apart without the camp. Why? Because that's where Jesus Christ is. And may the Lord help us to understand. Let's not try to, on one hand, grip Christ, on the other hand, grip the world. It doesn't work that way. If we identify with Christ, we will be without the camp. So may the Lord help us to understand this truth. Having our hearts established with grace means that the life is spiritual, superior, and sanctified. And may this truth also, you know, we don't deal as those Hebrew Christians dealt with persecution. But by application, we could say that this could apply to our lives today, because too often I believe that sometimes that we are prone to try to embrace the world and embrace Christ at the same time, and we cannot do that. Why? Because the world has cast Jesus Christ outside of the camp. And our goal is not to try to smooth our way into the world. Our goal ought to be to identify with Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us to do that.